Good morning. It's always good to be together on the Lord's Day. And as always, your prayers in my behalf are much needed and much appreciated. The Bible not only contains the teachings and commandments of God, but it also records many facts of the lives of the characters that are in the Bible history. And the lives of those Bible characters, they are there for our learning. And what we want to do in this lesson is to look at one of those men from the Old Testament and see what we can learn from his life. Solomon was one of the 19 sons of King David. And if you remember, he was given birth by Bathsheba, according to Matthew chapter 1. But even though Solomon had a large family, it seems that he had very little support from that family. And we can read about the evil of Amnon and Absalom and Adonijah that's given in Scripture. And they were also sons of David, who were all eventually killed because of their actions. But we find that Solomon was a little different. In fact, he started out very well in his youth. It was God's will that Solomon be anointed as king of Israel. And 1 Kings chapter 1 tells of him being anointed, even though another son of David sought to be king at that time. And Solomon had a good beginning as king, even though he was a very young man at the time. But it's important to note how he regarded himself and what he asked for when the Lord appeared to him as he's faced with this great responsibility of being king. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5 says, "At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" So in this dream that God used to communicate to Solomon, God asked what he desired. And this seemed to be just an open offer to Solomon. "Ask, what shall I give you?" Now, what would most people in that situation ask for if God made such an offer as that to us? I'm sure there would be a good many who would ask for some kind of material goods and things, maybe to fulfill their own selfish desires. But listen to what Solomon wanted. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Verse 6 says, "And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" So Solomon realizes that his father David was successful as king because God was with him. And he gives God the credit for that. But notice Solomon's humility here and his own opinion of himself. He says, "I'm just a little child." I have this great task of ruling over your people, and I don't know how to do this. So Solomon sees himself as he really is. He realizes that he is faced with this tremendous responsibility that goes along with being king, and he is very young and very inexperienced. And so this was a commendable attitude that Solomon had. He knew where he stood, and he knew that he needed help. And he could have let this being king go to his head, and he could have said, "I'm the king now, and I don't need any help. I can do this on my own." But he didn't do that, did he? And notice what he asked for. He asked for something that would help not only himself, but would also benefit the whole nation of Israel. He asked God to give him an understanding heart. And God was pleased with this request. And we see that in verses 10 through 14. Verse 10 says, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days.'" Asking for understanding, you see, was a good request. It was a very good request. And God granted him what he asked for. But God also gave him more than what he asked for. He also gave him riches and honor, didn't he? And he promised to give him a long life if he kept his commandments. And you could make the comparison to Jesus' teaching in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, take care of the important things first, and all these other things, they will fall into place. God will provide. Now, we might not be as rich as Solomon, but we will be provided with the necessities. But we need to seek him first. Solomon had asked for something that God approved of here, and the wisdom of Solomon was widely known. And that wisdom could be seen in the decisions that he made. Listen to this one case that's in the same chapter there. 1 Kings chapter 3. And it's a little lengthy reading, but let's start in verse 16 and go through it. Verse 16 says, "Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, 'Oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together, no one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side. And while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom, and when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, The one says, This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, Bring me a sword. So they brought him a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then a woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Now, what judge would have thought of that kind of a settlement, do you think? It was a very wise move in order to get to the truth. And that was just one case where Solomon's wisdom could be seen. And his wisdom, as we said, became well known. And he became famous because of it. And the next chapter tells of his fame in chapter 4 and verses 29 through 34 there. Let's look at that. Verse 29 says, And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Malchol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So, Solomon became famous because of this gift of wisdom that God had given to him. He had people from all over coming to hear that wisdom. And chapter 10 tells about the visit of the Queen of Sheba. Let's look at that real quick. 1 Kings chapter 10. Verses 1 through 7. It says, Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw it with my own eyes. and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. So, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon with these hard questions. But it says they weren't hard for Solomon. He answered all of them. There was no question too difficult for him. And this queen also said that the half was not told, that Solomon had exceeded all of the reports concerning his wisdom and his greatness. And so it seems that Solomon really was a know-it-all. Not in the sense that we might say that today, but it was just a fact that Solomon had all the answers, because God had given him that understanding that he had asked for. And we still have Solomon's wisdom. We have Solomon's Proverbs recorded for us today. And when you read those, you can see that Solomon was truly blessed and unique concerning wisdom and understanding. Another accomplishment that Solomon is known for is the building of the temple. And we know for 400 years, the Jewish worship had centered around the tabernacle, which was kind of a portable dwelling that was moved when it was necessary. And when David was king, he had wanted to build the temple, but it was not God's will for him to do that at that time. And this task was passed along to Solomon, and he began the temple in his fourth year as king. And this temple was not just your average house construction. This was a huge project that took a lot of resources. And we'll not read this, but 1 Kings chapter 5 gives us many of the details. It tells how he set up a deal with Hiram, the king of Tyre, to supply the cedar and the cypress wood. And he also raised a labor crew of 30,000 men out of Israel. And he set up a rotating work schedule so that 10,000 of the laborers would work in Lebanon for one month shift, and then they would be home for 2 months. And he had 70,000 burden bearers. He had 80,000 hewers in the mountains. And 3,300 supervisors over this whole project. And all these stones were pre-cut in the quarry. It took 7 years to build the temple. And the estimated cost in our money, depends on who you look at, is anywhere from $2 to $5 billion. And so it was an impressive undertaking. But Solomon, with this gift of wisdom from God, he had what it took to oversee it. And he had this tremendous project as another of his accomplishments. He's on the Bible record as the builder of the temple of God. And you could also say that Solomon was a good businessman. And he had to be, just in order to feed all the people of his palace. And the way he did this was to organize Israel into 12 different districts. And he had an officer that was over each of those 12 districts. And each district would provide the expenses for the palace for 1 month out of the year. And these expenses were pretty great. It's been estimated that Solomon fed over 50,000 people a day. Look at 1 Kings 4, verses 22 and 23, which I have on the screen. It says, now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. Now, those 30 cores of flour in our measure would be about 2,300 gallons of flour. And the 60 cores of meal, that would be 4,600 gallons. But remember, this was for each day. And then you include all the animals that were needed for meat. This was an enormous amount of food. And so it took a pretty shrewd businessman just to continue to provide for all the palace staff and everybody that was fed. But he had the money coming in. And we see that in Scripture. 1 Kings 10 and 15 says that he took in about 666 talents a year in gold alone. Now, there is some variation, if you read, on what a talent weighed. But some say that 666 talents would be 25 tons of gold each year. And the value would be over $900 million in our money. 2 Chronicles 1 and 15 says that he made silver and gold as common as stones in Jerusalem. And so Solomon was successful as far as bringing in income. He knew how to make money for himself and the nation. And so far, this has been a success story. Everything that we have looked at about Solomon has really been over the top impressive, hasn't it? But now we get to the part that is not so good. Yes, Solomon was a success in many ways, but he did have some problems. In the Bible, as we've said before, it does not try to cover up the sins of his people, but it shows them as they really were. Many of the Bible characters have their negative sides shown. That should not damage our faith, but it should show that the Word of God is truthful. If it were not the truth, then many of those faults and sins of those Bible characters would probably be covered up. But they're not. And Solomon had his problems. One of those was that even though he was taking in a great income, it was putting a great burden on the people. And we see this in 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he became king after Solomon's death. But when Jeroboam and the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, here's what they said of his father Solomon in 1 Kings 12 and verse 4. He said, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So it seems that Solomon's expenses and his appetite for more and more were greater than his income. In order for him to live in the lap of luxury as he did, it kept taking more and more to provide those things. And as a result, the taxes were just too great for the people. And the kingdom was divided. And we won't read about that. 1 Kings 12, if you would like to look at that. But the Arabs have a legend about Solomon's staff, of how a worm was silently eating out the center of Solomon's staff, showing how he was not aware of what was happening to himself and the nation because of his lifestyle. And this was a serious problem. But I guess the greater problem that Solomon had was concerning his marriages. And we find that in 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's read verses 1 through 8. 1 Kings 11 and 1 says, "But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods." And verse 9 goes on to tell of the Lord's anger concerning what Solomon had done, and that how the kingdom of Israel would suffer because of this. You see, Solomon was way too much of a ladies' man. And at this point, you just have to ask the question, where was Solomon's wisdom at? What in the world was he going to do with 700 wives and 300 concubines? And what if they had all gone shopping at Walmart at the same time? Even Solomon couldn't afford that. But seriously, why did he allow himself to be influenced by his wives? He was not even supposed to marry a foreigner at all. He had ignored God's law, and it caused him to commit more and more sin. Nehemiah used Solomon as an example and a warning against any of Israel marrying those of the heathen nations. Excuse me. In Nehemiah 13 and verse 26, it says, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin." We hear the phrase sometimes, to go to the church of your choice. Well, Solomon, in not tearing down the false gods and their altars, and in giving in to his wives, he was in effect saying, worship the God of your choice. And it was a terrible mistake on his part. It's been said that Solomon is a symbol of our time in America. And like Solomon, America is a nation of great wealth. And even during those times of recession or a bad economy, we still have more than most all other countries in the world. And as far as wisdom of the world goes, we have access to the greatest technology ever. We live in what has been called the information age. And there's never been so much knowledge available to so many people. And as far as religion goes, we're still currently blessed with freedom of religion, freedom of worship, freedom to teach and preach God's word without fear. And thank God for that every day. But like Solomon, America has its problems. And its failure to follow after God's laws concerning both morality and worship, it will have its disastrous results on our country and on millions of souls. Solomon was given a warning by God early in his life and in his position as king. The blessings that the Lord had bestowed upon him, they were conditional. He had to continue to keep the Lord's commandments. And some scholars and commentators seem to think that Solomon died having never repented of his sins. That may have been so. The closest thing to real regrets is found in the book of Ecclesiastes that Al read for us as the scripture reading. He talks of all that he had done and also how it all was vanity or useless. It meant nothing. And then in chapter 12 is probably the most famous verse, a verse that shows that he knew what was most important. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. And it does make you wonder that as great and as wise as Solomon was, he never was mentioned in Hebrews 11. Along with all the other heroes of faith. No one could say for sure if he died faithful or not. But it would be such a tragedy that one who had all the wisdom and all the knowledge, so many things going for him, that he would miss out on the greatest thing of all. And that is an eternity with the only true and living God. But you know, that does not just apply for Solomon. It would also be just as great a tragedy if any one of us missed out on heaven. Because it's not going to matter when it's all said and done how rich we are, or how successful we are, or how popular we are. If we've not been faithful to God, then none of those things will matter. They'll not mean a thing. In the words of Solomon, they're vanity. We urge you to consider this lesson. And we close with the invitation of Jesus. And if we're not a Christian, then anything else we might accomplish in this life, it really means nothing at all. Believe on Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins in your life. Be willing to confess Jesus and then be baptized for the remission of those sins. And be faithful till death. and the Lord will add you to the saved. If you have a need to do that, or if you have a need for the prayers of the church, if you come forward as we stand and as we sing.